I tell you something, I don't say this in any way to be self-righteous. This is, I'm at home at the moment. This is the fourth prayer meeting today. The first one was at 8 o'clock for nearly half an hour, and we focused on prayer for our churches in the UK. And one lady prayed particularly for a church which is just falling apart, and others for the situation. The second one is another one I go to each day. It's a group of Scottish ministers. It's very, very dour indeed, very. But we were praying for the land and the needs in Scotland and England particularly. The third one was an unusual one for 10 of those, and now here. But over lockdown, I don't know how many prayer meetings I've been to on Zoom, but let's just say lots. And I don't know that I concentrate as well as I should at all of them. But the great theme of all the prayer meetings is crying out to the Lord to intervene. Mm-hmm. And yet, here we are, 18 months, 21 months after lockdown, whatever it is, and the country seems in a worse mess than it did at the beginning. Mm-hmm. And we've got the whole pandemic thing, but just crumbling nation in every way. Andrew Neil, you'll know from television fame, but before that, for 20 years, he was the editor of the Sunday Times. And when he left that to go to work for the BBC, he said, for the last 20 years, I've been editor of the Sunday Times, and I have chronicled the decline of a nation. Well, that was 20-odd years ago. Wow, how much more so. There was an article in my newspaper this weekend, written by an Anglican lady, not a vicar or anything, just an Anglican lady, and she's asking this question, very powerful. She said, will there be a Church of England left when my children are growing up? She said, Methodism has died, will there be a Church of England? And I think we're in a sorry state, aren't we? I don't need to labour this. But then you come to a passage like this. So, we've had King Saul, and then David, and then Solomon. Now, Solomon really was the beginning of the decline after David. And then we know what happened. The nation split. Rehoboam became king of Judah and Levi, and Jeroboam, this wicked, wicked man, became king of Israel. And I'd never noticed it before, but a couple of chapters earlier in 2 Chronicles, it says that Jeroboam not only had them worshipping the golden calf, we knew about that, but worshipping demons. I've never seen that before. And so rapidly had the nation declined. Well, Abijah comes on the throne after Rehoboam. In Kings it says he did evil. He just reigned for 3 years. But actually, what you have here is a lovely insight. Now, what went wrong? I'm not sure. He wasn't a godly king at all. But when Jeroboam confronted him in war, in battle, I think it's significant what happened. Look at verse 5. He reminded the people, the Israelites, on the other side who were coming to attack him and were much stronger than he reminded them of the covenant that God had made. Should you not know the Lord God of Israel gave the dominion over Israel to David forever, to him and his sons, by a covenant of salt? So he reminded them of past blessings and where they should have been spiritually. But then, and you have to say, he was a brave man. He then spoke and sort of, well, the word these days is outed. We out somebody. He outed Jeremiah's sin. So, verse 6 of
Jeroboam.
Sorry, what did I say?
Jeremiah.
No, I mean Jeroboam, sorry. Jeremiah's not yet born. Not in the twinkle in his father's eye.
Sorry.
No, you're right. Jeroboam, he reminded them of what Jeroboam was doing. Hear me, Jeroboam and all Israel. Should you not know that the Lord God of Israel gave dominion? And then, Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, servant of Solomon, the son of David, he rose up and rebelled against the Lord. Then worthless rogues, this is great, isn't it? This is Nigel Farage speaking, really. This sort of blunt speech. Worthless rogues gathered to him and strengthened themselves again. And he said, look, Rehoboam was young, he made a mistake, which he did, he was wrong to do it, etc. And now you think to withstand the kingdom of the Lord? which is in the hand of the sons of David. And you've got a great multitude, you've got golden calves, Mephi was God's. And then he says, and you know, you got rid of the good priests. And sure enough, when the kingdom split, the good priests, the godly priests from Israel, left Israel and went down to Jerusalem. And some of the people did as well. They weren't going to have any of this. They went back to Jerusalem to be in Judah. You got rid of these. And then you just consecrated anybody. You know, they gave a bull, they gave some rams, and you just consecrated them to be priests of things that are not God's. So there was false worship, there was false religion, there was rebellion, there was outright sin. And he spoke very honestly about it. And then, I don't think in a smug or self-righteous way, he then says, but actually, no, we've stuck to the truth. Look at 11b. Sorry, as I put 11b, but let's have 11a. And they burned, we've got the Levites and the priests, they burned to the Lord every morning, every evening, burnt sacrifices and sweet incense. They also set the showbread in order and the pure gold and the lampstands with its gold, etc. But we keep the command of our Lord God, but you have forsaken him. So there were people who were seeking to obey God, very much in the minority, confronted by this huge gathering, twice the size of the people of Judah, who were wicked and had forsaken the Lord and were doing wicked things. And then he says about himself, now look, God himself is with us as our head, and his priests with sounding trumpets to sound the alarm against you. O children of Israel, do not fight against the Lord, the Lord God of your fathers, for you shall not prosper. And here we are, small group of people, but we're not to despise the day of small things. A small group of people, and without being self-righteous, we know we're sinful, we know we're weak. But we're here because we love the Lord, aren't we? We're here because we want to obey him. We're here because we're redeemed and we take seriously his commands and his invitation and instruction to pray. We can say, all right, the world may be out there doing what it wants. Yeah, we're a small group, but we are seeking to obey the Lord. And I just find that very, very encouraging. He warns Jeremiah in verse 12, but Jeroboam. We'll just call him Jerry from now on. He warns Jerry from now on. He says, look, you know, God isn't going to bless you at all. Well, Jeroboam and his army were before and behind, and here was this small group in between. But then look what happened. I just think this is wonderful and such an encouragement to us all. Verse 14, and when Judah looked around, to their surprise, the battle line was at both front and rear. They cried out to the Lord, and the priests sounded the trumpets. Then the men of Judah gave a shout, and as the men of Judah shouted, it happened that God struck Jeroboam and all Israel. And there was a huge defeat to the people who appeared as though they would win. It was a David and Goliath situation. They prayed, they cried out to the Lord. The priests sounded the trumpets and then they shouted. And I think it was a shout of victory, wasn't it? They knew that God had heard and God would vindicate them. And I just find that so encouraging. Just a couple of other things. Abijah may not have been a godly man, but his son was, Asa. And it's wonderful. God blessed this man who did evil, according to 1 Kings, blessed him with a great victory, gave him a godly son. And just to finish, look at chapter 15, verses 1 to 3. Now the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded. And he went, excuse me, I've got a bit of apple stuck in my throat. Excuse me. And he went out to meet Asa and said to him, hear me, Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you are with him. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. For a long time, Israel has been without the true God, without a teaching priest, and without law. But when in their trouble, they turned to the Lord God of Israel and sought him, he was found by them. So around us are massive apparent armies of people who want to trample under all that we hold dear. We know that, and we don't need to go through all of that. But we can say to the Lord, Lord, we may be failing in many ways. Don't think you'd call us now evil, except the Lord Jesus spoke to his disciples and said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts. So, depends how we look at ourselves. But we can say, Lord, we're here because we love you. We do want to keep your commandments. We are your sons and daughters. We are precious in your sight. Jesus means everything to us. Now, Lord, hear our prayer. Hear our... Well, it's not the sound of a trumpet. It's as close as we can get. But we're singing, we're praising. And there's a sense of, yes, Lord, we believe you have the victory. Yeah. And you're going to hear, you're going to answer. And Lord, we pray and we continue because we know that in the end, you will indeed have the victory and you will reign.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen.